And it is indeed number 24, Mike and Mike's off-air podcast on the new My 97.5. And Mike O'Neill right here.
Mike Pesto over here. So I don't think we have time for a hijack this time around because of what we are going to be diving into for the next half hour, 45 minutes. We'll see how long this one's going. This may very well be our longest podcast to date.
But everybody in town, especially baseball fans, are talking about this right now.
Yeah, and obviously you gave a little hint. Visalia Rawhide, you may have heard. And we'll get into the specifics as we understand them. And we'll say that a few times over the course of the
big
next
caveat.
Half hour or so. But Major League Baseball during – as I dropped my phone, I'm so anxious about this. Major League Baseball apparently after the pandemic, and actually as the pandemic was going on, I don't know if this was something in the works and the pandemic just kind of ushered it in a little faster, but has now – gain control of minor league baseball. I thought they always did have control of it. But now they have control of it to the point that Major League Baseball representatives have gone to minor league parks and not given recommendations, but given requirements of you will improve this. You must improve that. This is a no-no. This is fine, but and the Visalia Rawhide, I believe they have the oldest minor league ballpark in all of minor league baseball. I'm almost guaranteed it's the oldest one in California. So because of that, there's the things that need to be improved if the Visalia Rawhide will continue to be the Visalia Rawhide.
And that's a big shock, obviously. Everybody in the Rawhide, everybody was going about their business, and all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh.
Now, I wonder... And I would love at some point, and you know, we are tasked with doing these public affairs shows on the air. They're half hour long. They're on every Sunday and all four of the stations within Momentum Broadcasting.
Yep.
I've got one coming up. We all do. We all rotate them on a periodic basis. It's like about once a month for each of us. I don't know if anyone's thought to do this yet, but I'm thinking of at least reaching out to ownership for the Visalia Rawhide and giving them 15 minutes to talk about their side of what's going on, and I know you've got a whole list of you know, sheets there. We'll go over that, and then also have someone from the city on that's able to come on. Okay, so we heard from the ownership for the Rawhide. Here's what the city is actually saying about the situation, and maybe understand a little bit more than we do right now.
That could be Referee Mike's low-key roundtable. What do you think? Could be.
See, that I would love it if we could actually have a half-hour show with both at the same time, and I could play mediator. But
wouldn't it be cool if you solved it on your podcast? Yeah. That would be amazing.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Nope.
In the fact that, and I will back you up a little bit in case you're just hearing of this now. So we kind of gave you the gist of what Major League Baseball has said. So it's my understanding, and you've got more information there in front of you. I'm just going off of what I remember reading and having watched the city council meeting the other night that Visalia had, where it was actually moved from their regular chambers to the convention center because of all the people that expressed interest in showing up. But it's my understanding that once the team got this laundry list of things that need to be improved, they went to contractor to see how much of this is going to cost the team. Have you seen anywhere a definitive amount of what that total is? I thought I heard a minimum of $1 million.
It's a lot. It's according to a Sun Gazette story,
okay,
which reported the upgrades could cost $7 to $11 million. If they did the whole list.
Okay.
The judge later noted the city was mistaken about its financial obligations, but
okay.
I think both sides think that they're each. It seems to kind of come down to, I mean, not to overly simplify it, but it seems to come down to a tenant landlord situation and who said who and who committed to what and who is going to go, yeah, we did, and I guess we have to. And it sounds like that's what it's all coming down to.
Now, if your first instinct is, oh, well, okay, if that's all it is, well, then you take the lease agreement to a lawyer, to a judge, and you let them decide. They did that.
I know.
It actually went to a judge here in Tulare County. I don't know what court. I don't know which judge. But the judge looked at it, apparently with a team of lawyers as well. And the decision was, it's really not specific enough in the lease itself. I really can't tell who's responsible to make these improvements. Y'all go back to the drawing table and figure out yourselves. Case dismissed.
Yeah, pretty much. Judge David Mathias didn't rule in favor of either party as a result of exactly what you just said. And so now, you know, the president, Sam Segal, said he wished there was a more favorable ruling. Yeah. We still believe the city has obligations to make health and safety improvements. And, of course, the city is, well, we never said that. And we're just...
Yeah, I've heard... more about this, and I'll be completely honest, I'm not going to take a side as far as the ballpark should do this, the city should do that, not because I'm trying to be politically correct, because I really don't know enough about that lease. I wish, like the judge, it was more specific so that you could look at it and say, oh, well, based on this, it's very clear. It's spelled out in black and white. The city's responsible for X amount. The ballpark's responsible for X amount. There you go. Judgment for fill in the blank.
It just seems to me that there's so much entertainment that happens there. We know, Mike and I know a little bit more about what happens there, because beyond the fact that we've gone to way too many Visalia Rawhide games alone, that's not the only way we know about these things. We each have sons that worked there that past season. And so, I mean, we know a little bit more about what's going on there. I mean, it's not just baseball that happens there. There were 5-5-9 fights there this year. There were a lot of high school baseball games happen there. The big ones, you know, the homecoming games and other things. They make very good use of that ballpark there. When they're out of town, someone else is in town, and they're doing something with it, and they're trying to keep it popping. And it would just seem to me that it would be good for both the Rawhide and for the city to find a way to come together and make this happen, because a lot of folks go there across the year. I mean, and even, I just realized, and even more happens there. There's other celebrations. I can't think of any of the names of
Irish
them right
Fest
now.
Irish Fest and things of that nature.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems like the lights are on there a lot, and not just because they're cleaning up left field. There's a lot of things going on there, and it would really behoove them. I mean, my first memory coming here all the way back in 1996 – it was a whole different ballpark back then.
Literally.
If you wanted to eat there, you would go to one of the couple of linguica sandwich carts that was there, and you'd get your linguica sandwich and then shut up and go sit down. And, I mean, there's a whole lot more going on there. There's you know, the club is upstairs there now, air-conditioned. There's multiple different... places you can get refreshments there now. There's a neat little store in there if you're not a baseball fan where you can get your Rawhide memorabilia. And there's a family section. There's a place behind the family section where they can actually do Christian concerts and other concerts this year. There's a lot of ways to make use of this property that it would seem like the city, should they let it go, it would not be a great financial decision.
I will play devil's advocate on that argument as far as the extracurricular activities. If I'm in the city,
right?
If I'm one of the city planners or a member of the city council, I'd say, well, hold on. We're not saying anything about the ballpark. All those other events can and will continue to go on. We're talking specifically about minor league baseball as far as that stadium is concerned. Because I could see the city saying that. I don't know that definitively. I get for the record, but I would think that the city could still hold Irish Fest there, that Enchanted Playhouse could still have productions there, that Christian concerts and other concerts could be there. The 5-5-9 fights could still be there. So,
but would it still pay for itself if the Visalia Rawhide wasn't there anymore?
That and who would pay for the upkeep then? Maybe the city already does, and maybe that's in the lease again, which I have not read. As much as I want to tie in those other things, I guess maybe for argument's sake, since again, I don't know one way or the other, that's something that is not part of it, since it's Major League Baseball that is forcing their hand on this, that for all other events, sure, fine. No one's saying you can't do those things.
Well, and a lot of this doesn't really, I mean, they're not, and on the other hand, it doesn't look like they're asking, you know, they're not asking for diamond studded, you know, anything that sounds too
crazy. Yeah, you've got the list there. So what specifically, because again, that's another big question that people are asking, what needs to be improved?
It's not as specific as I'd like, but on the list of upgrades for the park, to get compliant, they have to get improved lighting. I can see that.
Okay, yeah. You and I have been to games there.
It's not very bright.
It is nothing compared to a major league park. And I've been to other minor league parks as well. Yeah. I mean, it's not to the point where it's dangerous for players, but then again, I've never tried to catch a line drive or a pop-up there either. There is a possibility, if you ask players, that if it goes up high enough, it does get lost, you can't track it coming back down.
But I will bet you, I bet those lights have been in there a while.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what? Today, I'm a mobile DJ. I don't know why I keep bringing this up every time we have a podcast, but I have lights for my mobile DJ company. When I started out, I had these big, fat par cans, they're called, that had very heavy floodlights screwed in. They were heavy. They drug a ton of power out of the wall to run. Today, I have four very small lights. They're LEDs. They use zero power at all. They're nearly as bright as the old ones.
Mm-hmm.
They cost less. They operate for less. They don't use as much power. And I bet once they redo those with the more modern lighting, brighter lighting, I bet it won't cost the city as much to operate them.
It may be one of those things, because it's my understanding that, and correct me if I'm wrong, because again, you have got the information right there, that some of the light standards actually need to be raised. That's going to cost a lot of money.
Yeah, that's just...
But all of the bulbs need to be replaced. Now, that's an initial outlet of a lot of money, but like you said, over time, based on the amount of electricity used, I would imagine that's going to lower their bill that way.
But there's replacing and there's replacing. Don't put the same bloody – don't put new old bulbs in.
No, they have to be up to a better – they need to be brighter. But again, like you said, with LED, they can be brighter, but still more energy efficient than the old ones.
Way. Yeah. So it's a win in the long run for sure. Adding padding to outfield walls, well, yeah.
I don't know if you saw it. This was maybe 10, 15 years or so ago. There was a viral video going around of literally a minor league baseball player. It was at a minor league park, I forget where, of him literally running through the plywood wall trying to catch a ball. He just hit it as hard as he could and went right through it. That's basically like the type of wall that, if you've never been to a Rawhide game or trying to picture it, that they have. I don't know how thick that wood is, but it is wood.
Yeah.
Now, my argument to this is, because again, from my understanding, it's because of the safety of the players on the field. I'm a huge Chicago Cubs fan. Wrigley Field has brick against their wall. Now, it's covered in ivy, but whenever a player even comes close to it, the announcers are very close to point out that ivy is not padding.
Yeah.
And even like in the very early months of the season, you could see the brick. The ivy hasn't even started blooming yet. And Major League Baseball players are playing there at Wrigley Field. My thinking is Wrigley Field gets away with it because it's grandfathered in. That stadium is as old as it is. They let some things go because it's Wrigley Field. What is the possibility, at least for argument's sake on the wall, of letting Major League Baseball say, let's let that one go because this park is as old as it is, as far as minor league baseball stadiums is concerned, it's historic. Is there any chance, and we'll get back to the rest of the list here in a second, that maybe Tulare County could jump in, and I don't know if this would help or not, declare Valley Strong Ballpark, Rawhide Ballpark, Recreation Park, whatever you want to call it, a county landmark. And in so doing, there's some things that can't be changed. And Major League Baseball just has to say, okay, landmark status, we'll have to grant you that.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that that's so, because this next one is going to be a lot tougher to overcome. And improved and secure parking areas.
Well, that one they've been talking about for a while.
Parking is tough there because if you're not familiar with the property, they really only actually have two technical parking lots. They're just two long strips of parking. Actually, it's like three deep, I guess, on the one side and two very small deep on the other side on the actual property. And that's it. If you go to a Rawhide game, you're more likely parking all the way down. What is that there? Central. You're parking all the way down there. Or if you do like me, sorry, St. Paul's, parking in St. Paul's parking lot because it's safe and I walk away and I can walk back. And sometimes if it's a big game, the parking, they'll park on the street all the way down there.
Giddings is loaded.
All of and every street, up and down, up and down, up and down, and going around, all around the ballpark, that's where the rest of the parking is. How are they going to overcome that?
When I first moved to Visalia, there were homes that were in what is now a gravel parking lot just to the west of the stadium, so across the street from Giddings. And then there was another area where there was homes just to the south of the stadium that's now gravel and people park there. I don't know if the city owns that or how that exactly works. I'm guessing they do, and that's part of what's considered the campus, if you will, for Visalia Rawhide. But they only have – if it's a matter of paved parking areas, and I don't know if that's part of what they're talking about, but there is just the one that I'm aware of that's on the south side, which used to be the main entrance for the Rawhide, and now everyone considers like the main entrance – that south entrance.
Right. See, that's going to be a big deal. My church just went through this. We were going to overcome it by we were lucky enough to be able to buy this grass field that was behind the church parking lot, and we were going to add on to that. And we solved it a different way, but that property isn't adjacent to the ballpark.
Okay.
I don't know where they're going to get the property to do that. Isn't everything all the way around the park already being used?
It was previously. I don't know if the city has a quote-unquote right to do the whole eminent domain thing and bulldoze some properties once leases expire. I don't know. But there also is, now that I think about it, a little bit further south from the ballpark as you get towards Main Street. There's another paved parking lot there that I know is owned by the city. So I guess technically there's two, quote-unquote, parking areas for the Rawhide, though that one is a little further away.
And the big dirt lot right across the street. But whose property is that? We don't know. Yeah. I'm sure that's not up to snuff in terms of where they want it to be.
Yeah, as far as security, maybe there's not enough adequate lighting there. I don't think there are any lighting standards over
there
at all.
No, you whatever slops off the ballpark lighting gets over
exactly.
there. Because at the end of the night, if you're walking out too slow and bam, the lights go off, you're like, oh, where's my keys? So I think that's going to be the big one because one of the other things they're talking about, too, is improving player clubhouses, which are too small to meet modern standards. That can be done. That's just interior decorating.
Depending on the space, I'm guessing, and going back to Wrigley Field, I know, and this was a multi-million-dollar project, with that particular stadium, because it actually is an historical landmark, they had to be very careful, but they did expand their dugouts, keeping in mind that they really couldn't go beyond the realm of what the park is now. They took out some other areas that were used for concessions and things like that to make the players a little bit happier, because people complained about Wrigley Field, especially visiting teams, for years and years and years. And I can't even begin to imagine what it looks like there for the Rawhide. Now, I do know that ownership for season ticket holders and for advertisers have taken people on tours of the stadium. I would imagine if it's something that means enough to you to do your own research, if you reach out to ownership with the Rawhide and there's enough people, they will organize more of those tours to let people know, hey, this is what we're dealing with. See for yourself what the conditions are before you judge one way or the other.
Another thing they are hoping to do, well, at least they're being asked to do, is adding private female staff facilities, including a dressing room, shower, and toilet.
Okay.
And that must be, I'm guessing, for the although why, rhetorically, why a female dressing room for whom?
For staff.
For staff that work there?
Yeah.
Why are we taking a shower when we're going to work in the concession booth? I ask rhetorically.
No, that's that. That's a fair question, in which case, where's our shower here with Momentum Broadcasting? I mean,
that would be nowhere, my friend. I think nowhere, my friend.
Own? No? Okay.
Someone was calling just now to find that out, because I don't know the answer to that.
So is that everything that's on the list that you have, or are there any more
shower
items?
That's all I have. Okay. That's all I have. But, I mean, I see the parking being a really big deal.
All right, so let's...
That's real estate and construction.
Yeah. And the light standards I see as being a big one as well. And because we're talking about lighting, like lighting there for parking, lighting there at the ballpark. So you and I did not get a chance to be at the city council meeting, which was just the other day, Tuesday, which was moved from, again, the regular location, council chambers, to the Visalia Convention Center. I want you to think about it. I already know what my response is. I want you to think about if you had had if you would have had the opportunity to be there, and maybe someone here had said, "Hey, Mike O'Neill, because your son did work for the Rawhide last year, we really want you to speak at that meeting from your heart." What would you say? So you'll think about that. I know exactly what I would say
because
I thought about this while I was watching the Facebook live feed that Joe Ross, who works for the Rawhide, actually set up, and I was watching his page and watching it. And Joe, if you're listening, thank you again for doing that. And every time that someone would speak, I'm like, I should have been there. But my wife and daughter were sick, so I'm like, okay, I gotta be good husband and father. So I did that. But if I had had my chance to step up to the microphone, knowing that the city council members were not going to comment and didn't on anything that was said, I would tell them that when I first moved here to Visalia and took a job at 106.7 KJUG Country, the first station in our group that I worked for, did the interview, thought it went well, and then after the interview, I drove around and wanted to get a feel for Visalia. But most importantly, no joke, I was looking to see if Visalia had a minor league baseball team. Before living on the coast with my in-laws for a year because I was out of work, I lived in Peoria, Illinois, first city I ever lived in that had a minor league baseball team, and loved the fact that minor league baseball was there. Now, again, being a Chicago Cubs fan, it was all the better because they were the Chicago Cubs low A team. So I got to see Cubs as they were just coming up and then hopefully years later see them on the major league team. But I did get to see them. And one of my favorite pictures of my son is having taken him to his first, quote-unquote, technically Cubs game, snow cone in hand, and he doesn't recall anything because he was less than a year old at that point. But having that experience and feeling a sense of pride because this is a major league affiliate right here in our small little town, it gives us a sense of identity. And having that meant the world to me. I was going to accept the offer, whatever it was, because, again, I had been unemployed for a year. But that was beyond the icing on the cake for me, just knowing that minor league baseball was here. And the first year that I lived here, while my wife was still living in Pacific Grove at the time with my in-laws because she was pregnant with our daughter and a whole laundry list of things why it was just making more sense to do that, I practically lived at Recreation Park at that point. I saw, I think that first season, every home game there was because I had nothing else to do. And it does give this, not only the city, but this county, Kings County included, I would say, a sense of identity. There's nothing else like it anywhere close unless you go to Fresno. And we have to go to Fresno for practically anything else because they have the Trader Joe's.
Right.
They have the Chick-fil-A's.
Chick-fil-A.
We need minor league baseball in Visalia.
And I agree. And a lot of my answer is almost identical to yours. My first giving a real darn about baseball was in Portland, Oregon. My dad loved taking the whole family to see the Portland Beavers. Yeah, okay. That's what they were called. at Multnomah Stadium in Portland, Oregon. And I was all of in third grade. This stadium seemed huge to me. But if I went there, I don't even think it's there anymore. But I know the team's not, but it was then. And these were amazing family nights out where we got to watch baseball. We kept our little scorecards. I learned how to keep score in my program there in third grade and then fourth grade and every other time we would go there. And these were huge family nights out. And I can't imagine growing up in Portland, Oregon, without that. I can't imagine living here. I felt the same way. They've got a baseball team. And it reminds me, the first thing I told Colleen, this reminds me of Multnomah Stadium. This is wild. Well, it didn't when we first came here, but when they did the fix-ups to the new state that it is now with all of the the newer things that they – I forget how long it's been now, but it's been a minute. But I keep referring to the new – now, it's been a while. But this is our home ballpark. It's our home ballpark. And for those that love baseball – and it's more than just the American pastime, guys. A lot more people out there like it than you might imagine. But this is our home ballpark. And I'm really, really, really hoping that these two parties can get together and fix this up, because there's a lot of people out there that are praying for and betting that they can.
So I think you and I both agree both sides need to do whatever it takes individually and collectively to find a solution to keeping the team here. I know, well, I shouldn't say I know. It's my feeling and what I've read and talking to some people who work for the Rawhide, that the want is to stay here. I mean, they just recently bought the team.
Yep.
So why would they want to move it so quickly? I don't know. And so I don't even want to speculate one side or the other what city council members and what the city, quote unquote, how they feel about it. I will say one thing. I just recall that I forgot that when I lived in Salinas, California, closer to the coast, they had, past tense, a minor league team. They've had several over the years. They had one that was associated and affiliated with the Mariners, so they were an officially licensed minor league team. Then they lost that accreditation, and then they had an independent team there. I can tell you, having lived there from when they had a major league affiliate to when it was not a major league affiliate to now, last I was there, it was just a dilapidated stadium. That part of the city degraded beyond belief. And I don't necessarily want to tie the two, but there are a lot of gang issues in Salinas. There are other issues as well. I would speculate that losing the minor league team there at least was a contributing factor. To what degree, I have no idea. But at least as far as that neighborhood is concerned, absolutely.
Well, that part of that specific corner and area is already kind of and
can you imagine if it's not there, what's going to happen to that neighborhood?
Yeah, it's going to get kind of tore up in there. It's not going to be good at all. In fact, it just seems to me that mediation is the next step, some kind of mediation.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because it's my understanding, and you've got a lot more paperwork there again in front of you than I do, that the city wants that. I've read that in several different places. The city wants an independent arbitrator to come in and decide what to do. I thought I read recently, I think someone here in the building told me, that the team is balking at that. I don't know that for certain. But that's my understanding. I hope that I'm wrong. Maybe their fear is, how do we know that's an independent arbitrator? Is their arbitration going to be, you know, that's it, end of discussion? This is what has to happen because one person said it. I don't know what the fear is, if there is a fear in doing it, but that's my understanding at least.
Well, I was hoping for just some kind of independent referee that can just try to help get them together. Not a, whatever we come up with, you have to live with, even if one person goes bankrupt. Just more of a, how can we lead these two parties to some kind of a collective agreement that's good enough for everybody?
I have two solutions. Well, three, really. One, again, with the National Landmark distinction, helping out a little bit in that regard. The second is, I would assume Major League Baseball isn't just having this problem here in Visalia. That if they're doing this with all the minor league teams there, minor league baseball is in smaller towns. Smaller towns don't have a lot of money. You don't have a lot of money, you can't sink a lot of money into these improvements. But again, with Recreation Park, Valley Strong Ballpark, it's an older, if not the oldest, ballpark in minor league baseball, so it's going to require a lot more money to get it up to speed. So with that in consideration, Major League Baseball really needs to step up and try to help.
That's what I was going to suggest.
Yeah.
As itself.
I mean, how much money do Major League Baseball owners, players make? And with that in mind, if the Arizona Diamondbacks care enough that they've got this affiliate as close to Arizona as possible, and a lot of teams now want their single A team close to, you know, at least within, you know, a quick flight or drive to where the team is, and obviously they're in Arizona, not that far away, that they should pony up some money.
Yep.
Another solution, and I thought about this morning when someone actually called in and we talked about this. Paul Goldschmidt,
right,
was on the Rawhide shortly before I moved here. In fact, I think the season before I got here, 13 years or so ago, he was on the Rawhide, first baseman. He's one of the few minor league baseball players who has ever jumped from low A to the majors, never going to double A or triple A. They saw that much in him. And if you follow baseball at all, he's one of the best first basemen in all of baseball right now, playing for the St. Louis Cardinals. I know, because that's a big rival rival of the Cubs. I looked up his salary this year. He's getting a $4 million signing bonus. Mm. And he's making a base salary of $22 million. So $26 million. Paul Goldschmidt. How would you like it to be Paul Goldschmidt Stadium?
Exactly.
Moving forward, we'll have a huge statue of you out front. And it's your stadium if you help pay for the amenities that you wish the ballpark had when you were playing there. Who else would know better in the majors than Paul Goldschmidt?
And he's not the only one that's gone through there to success. No. There's others.
Oh, definitely. He's just the first one that came to mind as far as I know. He's the most successful Rawhide player still playing in the majors. Kirby Puckett came through the system as well. He passed away several years ago. But maybe that's something that maybe they could reach out to his estate and say, hey.
A little help?
And have Paul Goldschmidt statue on one entrance and a Kirby Puckett statue at the other.
Plenty of room for that. I think that's a pretty good idea. MLB, outside people, and as with anyone, anytime else that you need help, you can ask the fans for help too. Mm-hmm. Some of the fans are going to be interested in that. Yeah, I love going to the games. Where's the GoFundMe?
Get that going. And another idea I kind of just thought of, I don't know how much they do it now, but I know ESPN for the longest time would, with Peter Gammons, would do a lot of investigative reports on things within sports. Has anyone within ESPN and the name that they have done a story on this and gone to minor league parks to see how is this impacting you? If anyone knows anyone at ESPN to pick up a phone or email and say, hey, we think we have a story for you. You may want to investigate this, not just here in Visalia, but at all the minor league parks. Yeah. Again, I can't imagine the Rawhide are the only ones having the issue. It may be the biggest issue here because of the age of the stadium, but this is something I would think that other people would want to know about. And if they know about it, I've always believed the more people know about something like this, the more people that are able to help are going to help.
Absolutely. I think we've not solved it.
No.
But we've pointed it in a direction, in a good direction.
Hopefully those with bigger and deeper pockets than we have will get wind of this and they'll do the right thing.
But I will hit up the GoFundMe when it's created. Yeah. I really will. I may go home and start it.
Somebody needs to.
I have a special son. His name is Sean, and Sean and I go to ball games all summer long, even when it's 12,000 degrees out. The good news is that particular ballpark faces the right direction. If you're sitting in the 100 or 200 section, you're in the shade, my friend. And it's a great place to go for a great night. And the other thing I always tell people, guys, the best seats in the park cost $15. Mm-hmm. That's a cheap night out. It's a cheap night out, and it's good baseball. And it's a lot of fun. So I sure would kick down. I would definitely pitch in.
I don't know if we solved anything with this podcast, but I feel a little better because I felt bad about not being at that city council meeting, at least getting out the thoughts that I had if I had had the chance to speak. And I don't know if anyone within the city is going to get a chance to listen to this. If they do, I just hope that it's not just about saving face and looking for a political win. Let's have a city win.
Let's have a
county win. Let's have a South Valley win.
And Mike and Mike will buy each councilman a beer bat.
Yes.
in celebration of being able to go there and continue to be able to do so. That's the best I think we can offer, my friend.
If anyone has any other ideas, let us know. Or at least let the Rawhide and the city know, because they're the ones making the ultimate decisions.
All right, then. I think that's the end of this one. That means, oh, man, I'm on deck.
Yep. Pardon the pun.